Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, recording at our studio in the East County Wellness Center in El Cajon. Today we open with news about yet another controversy involving a white police officer killing a black man, this time caught on video in New York, sparking protests nationwide. And on a related note, local leaders in San Diego are joining together to call for changes, including body cameras for police officers, a measure that El Cajon City Council will consider next week. Hear about efforts to open a year-round homeless shelter in San Diego, and about how sheriff deputies foiled a Grinch who was stealing holiday gifts here in East County. Today we have some very special guests. We visited Lions, Tigers, and Bears in Alpine for a preview of their holiday celebration this Saturday, and interviewed owner Bobby Brink about her efforts to stop a shocking practice exposed by 60 Minutes that is also happening right here in the United States. Also, hear our interview with Marissa Grace McPherson, a talented 12-year-old singer and songwriter whose upcoming performances include La Mesa's Craft Beer and Wine Festival this weekend and Petco Park's Holiday Winter Wonderland. We will also have tips to keep your pets safe during the holiday season. And on Destination East County, hear about some hot happenings across our region, from winter festivals to holiday concerts. Plus, we'll replay our interview with Maestro Anthony Mostardo from the San Diego Festival Chorus and Orchestra, playing an excerpt of their performance of Vivaldi's Gloria at show's end. So stay tuned for all this and more on today's edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show. For the second time in the past 2 weeks, a grand jury has failed to indict a white police officer for killing a black man. The latest decision was in New York, where jurors declined to charge a police officer in the choking death of Eric Garner. Unlike the now-famous case in Ferguson, Missouri, where a grand jury acquitted a white officer of shooting and killing an unarmed black man who some witnesses said had his hands up in the surrender position, the case in New York was documented on videotape by a bystander. And yet, jurors still refused to prosecute the officer in New York, even though the video showed the officer using a chokehold to subdue Eric Garner, who was accused of selling cigarettes without collecting taxes, while several other officers surrounded him. The video shows Garner denying the charge, asking officers to just leave him alone, and clearly stating, "I can't breathe," at least 11 times in a panicked voice before passing out, never to recover. The father of six, who also suffered from asthma, was taken to a local hospital where he died. Here is an excerpt of Garner's desperate last moments of consciousness.
"I can't breathe. I can't breathe.
A second video showed police standing idly by for several minutes, failing to make any effort to resuscitate Garner until an ambulance arrived. The medical examiner ruled Garner's death a homicide caused by the chokehold. Garner's neck had hemorrhaging as proof of the neck compression applied by the officer. Chokeholds are illegal for New York's police department. The NYPD patrol guide states that this includes any pressure to the throat or windpipe which may prevent or hinder breathing. The ban was put in place in 1993 after five officers were put on trial for killing a 21-year-old by asphyxiation or strangling, San Diego Free Press reports. Four of those officers were acquitted. Columbia Law School professor Jeffrey Fagan concludes that the video appears to show negligence, and Cardoza School of Law professor Ikao Yanka agrees, KPBS reports. Yanka states that it is hard to understand how a jury doesn't see any probable cause that a crime has been committed when looking at the video. After New York's grand jury issued its decision, protests erupted in the streets of New York and in cities across the nation in what has come to be called the Black Lives Matter movement. In New York, protesters staged a die-in, lying down in Grand Central Station. They blocked traffic on the Brooklyn Bridge, and they chanted, "I can't breathe," outside the Christmas tree lighting at Rockefeller Center. Unlike in Ferguson, Missouri, the New York protests were largely peaceful, with no rioting, only nonviolent protests. Reporting San Diego's Nadine Abbott offered this analysis of why minorities, particularly in America, are rightfully mistrustful of the justice system at times. There is one word that comes to mind, she writes. This is the word impunity. It seems that there is nothing that can be said or done that will lead to the conviction of a white officer when a person of color dies. Yet another case making headlines involves a white police officer in Cleveland who recently shot and killed a 12-year-old boy with a toy gun. The caller who reported the boy in a park said the gun might be a toy, yet the officer fatally shot the boy within 2 seconds of arriving and getting out of his patrol car with no apparent provocation. Attorney General Eric Holder says his office will conduct its own investigation of Garner's death at the hands of Officer Daniel Pantaleo, who also faces an internal probe by the New York Police Department. President Barack Obama has called for funding to provide body cameras for police across the nation. Studies have shown that body cameras tend to improve public trust of police and reduce complaints of police violence. San Diego's police department recently added body cameras, and El Cajon's city council will hear a proposal on Tuesday by Councilman Gary Kendrick that would require body cameras for El Cajon police officers. But as the Eric Garner case shows, sometimes even videotape of what the medical examiner called a homicide is not enough to assure that a white police officer will stand trial when a black man is killed. And even in the rare occasions when an officer is indicted, convictions rarely occur. An officer typically needs only to state that he feared for his life to avoid prosecution or conviction. And yet still, body cameras are seen by leaders of minority communities as a good starting point to holding police accountable by providing evidence when excessive force leads to a death. Here in San Diego, black spiritual leaders including Bishop George McKinney and Pastor Brown have joined forces with Mark Rabo, a leader in the Iraqi Chaldean Christian community, to help stop police injustices. Today they announced plans to craft state and federal legislation that would require all police officers to wear body cameras, and they say they will fly to Sacramento and Washington, D.C. to lobby legislators on the issue. In a press statement issued to media on Thursday, Arabo, who is spearheading this effort, states, "The killing of Michael Brown and the latest death of Eric Garner shows that something needs to change, and it needs to change now. I am combining the collective efforts of San Diego's spiritual leaders to show that we are unified in our need for collective action. This is because injustices like the ones we see today hurt all of us. Its pain is colorblind," Arabo concludes, adding, "Reform, like the implementation of body cameras, should no longer be an option, but mandatory." Beyond body cameras, other potential reforms proposed by various groups range from changing laws so that police could not escape responsibility for killing someone merely by claiming to be afraid, improved training of officers, and adding more minority officers to police forces across America are additional steps that can be taken to help restore trust and accountability, as is using non-lethal force wherever possible. Until this occurs, expect the Black Lives Matter movement to grow in strength as people of all races join together in calling for justice for victims of violence by police. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
San Diego's Mayor Kevin Faulkner and Council President Todd Gloria announced that the City of San Diego will be setting up a permanent shelter aimed at ending the cycle of homelessness. Mayor Faulkner says, "Every winter, the city struggles to find a place to shelter the homeless." He adds that it's not enough to just provide beds in the winter weather. The city aims to open a 350-bed permanent facility that will also provide supportive services to help San Diegans get off the streets for good. It won't happen in time for this winter, so temporary shelters will stay open. The city is seeking proposals from nonprofits to run a permanent shelter. The San Diego Housing Commission posted an official request for proposals on its website and will accept applications now through January 13th. The commission is hoping to find an existing structure so it can open the permanent shelter by July 1st. Councilman David Alvarez, who represents Barrio Logan, where a temporary shelter with tents has been run each year, says, "People in the community are compassionate, but we want to see it get resolved." Council President Todd Gloria says the permanent homeless shelter will accept residents by referral, adding that, "With only temporary facilities, what we see year after year were the same faces." Reporting for East County Magazine, this is Hayden Parsley.
It's a wrap. A Grinch suspected of stealing holiday packages across East County has been arrested, the sheriff reports. The thief nabbed over $1,000 worth of packages in Lemon Grove, Spring Valley, and in unincorporated areas across El Cajon from November 21st through early December. A homeowner's surveillance video led to the arrest of a 37-year-old Martha Lampley. She's been charged with burglary, as well as violating parole for possessing drugs and drug paraphernalia, and more charges are pending. Search of a storage unit led to discovery of stolen packages and merchandise. Some packages were still clearly marked with the owner's names and have been returned to the owners, but others remain unclaimed. If you've had a package stolen, call the Lemon Grove Sheriff's Substation at 619-337-2000. You must bring proof of ownership, such as a receipt, tracking or shipping information, insurance claim, crime report, or give a distinctive description of the item. This is the busiest time of year for holiday deliveries, and package thieves are on the prowl, warns the sheriff, who offers these crime prevention tips. 1. Choose a shipping option that allows you to sign for delivery. Ask friends and relatives sending you a package to do the same and get a tracking number. Keep an eye on the package's delivery status. Sign up for email or text alerts. If you can't be home to receive a package, have it shipped to another location, such as your office. Leave a special instruction on where to deliver packages, such as on a side patio or beneath bushes. Another option is to choose delivery pickup, such as a UPS or FedEx location. Insure your packages so that any loss can be replaced. Get to know your carriers and be a good neighbor. Encourage neighbors to look out for each other. Report suspicious activity or vehicles to the Sheriff's Department at 858-565-5200. If your package is stolen, report the theft to the Sheriff's Department and the business where your order came from. Thefts involving U.S. Postal Service mail or packages are handled by the United States Postal Inspection Service because this is a federal crime. Report mail theft by calling 877-876-2455 or online at the U.S. Postal Inspector's website. To avoid tipping off thieves when you're out of town and your home is vacant, you can ask the post office to hold your mail by visiting ups.com. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Leon Thompson.
Now, straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers. This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso. And today we are out in beautiful Alpine at the Lions, Tigers, and Bears Rescue Facility with the owner and founder, Bobby Brink. Bobby, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Now, I understand that you have a big event coming up this Saturday, December 6th.
Yes, it's from 1 to 4, and it's our annual Christmas fundraiser. And there will be lots of shopping, lots of Christmas shopping, Santa Claus for the kids. We're also unveiling our new bear habitat.
Tell us about the bear habitat. Now, you've been all over the country rescuing bears. How many bears are going to be in the facility?
This habitat will have 4 bears, 2 Himalayan black bears, and 2 silver-tipped grizzlies. And all 4 of them came from North Carolina. They originated from what we call the Cherokee Pits, which is just a terrible, terrible place that we are desperately trying to get shut down. But in the meantime, we've at least been able to rescue these bears. They were at these pits for at least 4 or 5 years.
So they were actually just living in a pit?
In a concrete cinder block pit where they could not see out, but the public could see over the wall down to them to throw them food. And they keep them in breeding pairs, and then they pull the babies from the mama when they're right after they're born. And they use them for photo ops, which we call cub or cub petting.
Oh, my goodness. I just read something about a similar thing in South Africa with lion petting, and the scandal there that 60 Minutes broke was that they would sell off the lions to hunters for canned hunts after it's done.
The exact same thing, and it's happening right here in our country
today. With the bears. So it's not really a hunt because it's just an enclosed pen, and the hunter just walks in and basically...
There's no skill needed to walk up to a caged animal that's been bottle-fed and raised by hand by a person and shoot it. That's not sport.
Terrible. So fortunately for these bears, they're going to have a much better life here, I know. Tell us about the new habitat, how big it is and what it's going to include.
Well, it's actually their temporary part of their bigger habitat. So right now it's about 2.5 acres, and it's loaded with oak trees and rocks, and they have a watering hole and lots of grass. What little bit of grass we can have in this drought. They do have grass mm-hmm. and weeds and plants, and mm-hmm. they each have their own bedroom, so they're going to be pretty spoiled now.
Very good. And what are their names?
Teddy and Baloo are the Himalayan Blacks, and Albert and Cherry Bomb are the Grizzly Bears.
Great names. Yeah. There you go. So there you've got it. You can come out this Saturday and be the first to see Teddy and Baloo and Cherry Bomb and Albert in their new habitat out here at Lions, Tigers, and Bears. What are some of the other animals people will see when they come out?
Well, we actually have 65 rescued animals, 17 different species. So lions, tiger, leopard, bobcat, serval, regular black bears, Himalayan black bears, the grizzly bears. We even have macaws, horses,
wow.
miniature horse, miniature donkey. We rescue all animals and mm-hmm. provide a lifetime home, mm-hmm. and we're an education center.
Marvelous. And let's take a look at one of those big cats now. We've got a tiger out here splashing around in the mud.
The size of his paws.
He's going to be a big boy.
Huge.
He's going to be a big boy.
Oh, yeah. Likes playing in the mud.
And in addition to seeing the cats, and you've mentioned holiday shopping, is it a lot of wildlife and animal-themed gifts that are available?
Right, and jewelry, just all different kinds of shopping. Just a good, fun family day, cocktails for us adults, Santa for the children, and then, of course, open house to our facility. And then the highlight of the day will be all the animals are getting their Christmas presents, so they all get Christmas trees with presents under it, and we let them out of their bedrooms, and they will actually go and open their gifts and tear up their trees and play and have a great time.
Oh, my goodness, that sounds like great fun. Wonderful. Well, there you have it. And folks, if you want more information, you can go to the website, which is
www.lionstigersandbears.org. So everything is plural and "and" is spelled out.
Fantastic. Do you have any parting words, anything else that you'd like to our listeners to know, Bobby?
The exotic animal trade, the fourth largest international crime, second to drugs and weapons in our country.
Wow.
The animals need our help.
What can people do to get involved?
Well, they can come out here and volunteer. They can help us write letters to our legislation when we need it.
Mm-hmm.
And especially right now where we're trying to get our federal bill through that will help protect these animals from the unnecessary breeding and the cub petting.
Very good. Well, Bobby, I want to thank you so much for joining us here today. Listeners, if you tuned in late, we've been speaking with Bobby Brink with Lions, Tigers, and Bears in Alpine, and you can go on their site at lionstigersandbears.org to get more information about the big holiday event, the party with the big cats and the other animals this weekend, and all the other ways that you can get involved and help save these wonderful animals. Bobby, thank you for having us out today at Lions, Tigers, and Bears and for joining us on the East County Magazine radio show on KNSJ.
Thank you.
You're listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, networking for social justice.
This is Leon Thompson with the East County Magazine radio show. Today, my special guest is Marissa Grace, a 12-year-old singer and songwriter from La Mesa who has been getting a lot of attention lately. Marissa, welcome to our show.
Hi, thank you.
Marissa is a sixth grader at Christ Lutheran School in La Mesa?
Yes.
She recently sang on the Jeff and Jer radio show on KYXY. She was the featured singer in La Mesa's Oktoberfest and at the summer concert series at Grossmont Center. She also has a CD coming out soon. Next up, she'll be performing at the Craft Beer and Wine Festival in La Mesa on Saturday, December 6th at the La Mesa Recreation Center. She will also be performing at Fashion Valley Mall's Cafe Terrace on Saturday, December 13th, and in a solo concert at Petco Park's Holiday Wonderland on December 20th. So how is that going to feel?
It's going to be exciting and nerve-wracking at the same time, but I think I'll be more excited than nervous.
Have you ever performed for that many people before?
No.
So what kind of training have you had?
I started playing piano when I was 4, and I started singing when I was around 8 years old. I got my first voice teacher, so when I was 8 years old, I started actually practicing and training.
When was your first major appearance?
It all started when I was on the Jeff and Jer radio show, and I kind of got more like shows after that became popular, so that's how I got my first appearance.
Did you sing on Jeff and Jer show?
Yeah, not live, but they played my song.
So you're also a songwriter, and one of your songs is In My Dreams. What inspired it, and what's it all about?
It's mostly about friendship and being close to your friends, so that's why I really like that song, because I'm really close to my friends.
We're going to play a sample of your music now.
Okay.
Wow, that was amazing, Marissa. What goals do you have for your music?
I'm really interested in starting a tween band with a positive message and positive music. So that's one of my goals.
What's a tween band?
Oh, so we're trying to start a band for people my age, like teenagers kind of. So young teens, yes.
Well, tell us some more about what you have coming up.
I'm going to be performing at La Mesa Rec Center's Craft Beer and Wine Festival. I'm also going to be performing at Fashion Valley Mall at the Cafe Terrace. And I'm also going to be performing at Petco Park's Winter Wonderland.
Where can people get more information about you, Marissa?
You can go to my website, which is marissagracemusic.com. You can get tickets and discounts, and you can listen to more of my music there.
Well, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Now it's time for the Green Scene Report, highlighting energy, environmental, and sustainability issues in our community.
This is Miriam Raftery with East County Magazine's Green Scene Report. San Diego County Supervisors voted this week to approve purchase of 345 acres of open land to extend trail systems and also protect habitat for endangered California gnatcatcher birds. The purchase includes two parcels. The first is 100 acres to be added to the Gooden Ranch Preserve west of State Route 67 between Ramona and Poway. Supervisor Diane Jacobs says the goal is to connect trails from Gooden Ranch to Santee Lakes and all the way to Mission Trails. The second land acquisition includes 240 acres in the Escondido Creek Preserve near Harmony Grove Road. This land is part of a network of preserves that consist of about 1,400 acres in total. The cost to purchase these lands is about $5 million, which also includes funds for erosion control, vegetation management, staff salaries, and signs for the new trails and habitat preserves in San Diego County.
You are listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, broadcasting from the desert to the sea.
The East County Magazine show on KNSJ Radio is produced by the nonprofit Heartland Coalition. We're your community news. We reflect your interest, not special interest. You can get involved by volunteering, get trained to be a citizen journalist, and support East County Magazine at www.eastcountymagazine.org. And you can send your news tips and story ideas to editor@eastcountymagazine.org. This is a public service announcement from East County Magazine. The Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts provide important information about much more than wildfires. In these winter months, you can receive free alerts via email or Twitter on your mobile phone about emergencies such as flash floods, road closures, heavy snow, and other severe weather alerts, as well as wildfires, traffic reports, and more. You can sign up for this free public service at www.eastcountymagazine.org. The Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts are produced by East County Magazine with support from the Viejas Band of the Kumeyaay Indians.
As you deck the halls for your holiday festivities, it's important to be aware that many holiday traditions can be hazardous for your pets, including popular holiday plants, tinsel, tree preservatives, candles, glass ornaments, and potpourri. Here's what you need to know to keep your dog or cat safe this holiday season. Christmas tree preservations are toxic to pets. These are sold at Christmas tree lots, usually without warning. Do not use these if you have pets in your home. Buy a tree that's not dry and keep it watered instead. Some holiday plants are also toxic, including holly, which can be fatal. Mistletoe can cause heart problems, and sap from poinsettias can blister your pet's mouth. Artificial plants or non-toxic varieties are safer choices. Candles should not be left unsupervised when lit. Curious pets can tip them over and cause a fire. Liquid potpourri is caustic and can damage your pet's mouth and digestive tract. Don't use them. For a sweet scent in your home, boil some cinnamon and cloves on your stove instead. Don't give your dog turkey bones, which are small enough to cause choking or internal lacerations. Some holiday treats, such as chocolate, are actually toxic for pets. To discourage pets from chewing electrical cords for your holiday light displays, encase cords in PVC tubing or apply bitter apple, since most pets don't like the taste. Glass tree ornaments can harm pets if chewed, broken, and walked on. Angel hair is spun glass and will shred intestines if ingested. Ornament hooks, if swallowed, can also be harmful. Hang breakable ornaments out of reach and put pet-safe ornaments on low-hanging branches. Avoid tinsel. It is toxic. Even cranberry and popcorn strands can be dangerous if a pet swallows them and they become lodged in the throat. Ribbons can cause choking, particularly the thin, curling ribbon types. Don't put ribbons around your pet's neck since the ribbon can catch on objects and result in hanging. A folding corral sold at pet stores and baby supply stores can keep dogs and small children away from your holiday tree. A bowl of lemon peels at the base of the tree can dissuade cats or kittens from mischief. And lastly, cats have been known to climb up trees, and dogs can tip them over. Anchoring the tree to a small hook in the ceiling is a great idea to prevent this problem. From East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Ed Barena, wishing you and your pets a safe and festive holiday season.
Welcome to Destination East County with your host, Rebecca Williamson.
And Leon Thompson, bringing you the top festivals, events, and attractions across East County
each week. This week's Destination East County includes the Alpine Village Christmas Parade of Lights and Snow Festival, other Christmas holiday celebrations, a holiday pops concert, and the Lakeside Historical Society doing a holiday home tour.
Plus, we'll have previews of coming attractions, including a holiday concert in Lakeside and Christmas in the village in La Mesa.
So stay tuned for all of these events and much, much more from East County Magazine.
Lemon Grove hosts its annual Light Up the Grove bonfire on December 5th in Civic Center Park from 5 until 9 p.m. You can also visit the Lemon Grove Historical Society's Christmas open house at the Parsonage and Lee's House, where you can meet Santa and peruse the elves' gift shop. The night also includes horse-drawn wagon rides, games, face painting, and crafts to provide spirited good cheer for people of all ages.
The 19th Annual Alpine Village Christmas Parade of Lights and Snow Festival will be held on December 5th from 6:30 to 10 p.m. The parade rolls out at 6:30 p.m. from the West Victoria and ends at the Alpine Creek Town Center at 1347 Tavern Road in Alpine, where a snow festival complete with real snow starts at 7 p.m. Festivities include a visit from Santa Claus, carnival rides, food, and vendors.
Hakumba Hot Springs closes out its centennial year on Saturday, December 6th, with a Feliz Navidad celebration. The event takes place at the Highland Center, 44681 Old Highway 80, from 2 until 5 p.m. Admission and parking are free. Feliz Navidad showcases the festive mariachi music of the world-renowned Mariachi Garibaldi performing ensemble from Southwestern College, the first college in the world to offer a degree in mariachi music. Visitors and town residents will join a luminaire procession to the community park for the lighting of the Christmas tree and to sing carols. Hakumba-grown tumbleweed trees, snowmen, and other snow creations will be on display throughout the community. Hakumba was once known for tumbleweed snowmen, and the tradition is being revived. Festivities also include a piñata for the children, craft vendors, baked goods for sale, and raffle items, including beautiful gift baskets, bicycles, and a Christmas quilt. Complimentary refreshments will be served. For more information, go to HakumbaHotSpringsCentennial.org.
Grossmont Symphony Orchestra and Master Chorale will offer a performance on Friday, December 5th at 7:30 p.m. centered around a holiday favorite, The Nutcracker and the Mouse King. This special holiday concert will be presented in a new concert venue, the 500-seat concert hall at Greenfield Middle School in El Cajon. Students from the Greenfield Middle School's concert band and music theater class will join Grossmont College performers in this program. Ensembles will perform secular and Christmas music, and there will also be a sing-along. For more information on the Grossmont Symphony Orchestra and Master Chorale, visit grossmontsymphony.org.
You're invited to an afternoon of Yuletide fun watching animals open their Christmas presents at Lions, Tigers, and Bears. The Animal Rescue Facility hosts its annual Christmas Festival fundraiser on Saturday, December 6th from 1 until 4 p.m. You can also do holiday shopping at more than 40 vendor booths, enjoy food from Descanso Junction, and visit Santa Claus. In addition, a new bear habitat will be unveiled during the December 6th event featuring rescued bears Albert, Cherry Bomb, Teddy, and Baloo. To buy tickets or to donate a Christmas tree to give to the animals for play on this special day, visit lionstigersandbears.org.
The Lakeside Chamber of Commerce will host the 16th Annual Spirit of Christmas on Saturday, December 6th, 4 to 9 p.m. on Main Avenue between Parkside and Laurel and Lakeside. This free, fun-filled family event will include a community tree lighting, visits with Santa, vendor booths, kids' activities, food, music, and entertainment by local bands and schools. The evening will kick off with the arrival of Santa and the lighting of the community Christmas tree at 5 p.m. by the Lakeside Fire Department. Then guests can saunter up and down Main Street to experience visits with Santa, vendor booths, crafting tables, delicious eateries, kids zone, and holiday music. Children are encouraged to bring letters to Santa. Drop them off in a special mailbox with delivery just to the North Pole. Remember to enclose a self-addressed stamped return envelope so Santa can send a letter back.
The special North Pole mailbox will be on site at the Lakeside Historical Society on Main Avenue until September 24th. For more information, go to lakesidechamber.org.
The Lakeside Historical Society will be hosting its annual holiday home tour on Saturday, December 6th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. There are three decorated homes and one business on this tour, and many antiques and collectibles to be enjoyed viewing. Tickets can be purchased from the History Center at 9906 Main Avenue, the corner of Parkside, from 10 a.m. until 2, Tuesday through Saturday, or on the self-guided tour. Also, beginning in December 1st, the Historical Society has its Mrs. Claus Christmas resale shop open for shopping for annual holiday decorations. For more information, call the History Center at 561-1886.
Soroptimist International of Borrego Springs will also hold its holiday home tour on Saturday, December 6th from 4:30 to 8:30 p.m. You can tour five lovely homes in the Borrego Valley, each uniquely adorned for the holidays. From ultra-modern to old-school, each home will reflect the distinct decorating style of the homeowner. All proceeds go to the Fund Educational Scholarships for Borrego Springs graduating seniors and youth organizations.
A free choral concert, Bright Mornings, Silent Nights, will be presented by the Pacific Airs and Cedar Center Chorus on Saturday, December 6th at 2 p.m. in the College Avenue Baptist Church at 4747 College Avenue in San Diego. Concert features Christian and Jewish holiday favorites as well as secular music.
The San Diego Festival Chorus and Orchestra will present a joyful holiday music celebration on December 7th at 3 p.m. in the College Avenue Baptist Church, 4747 College Avenue, San Diego. The performance will include Vivaldi's Gloria and Robert Shaw's The Many Moods of Christmas. The East County-based San Diego Festival Chorus is in its 14th season. The 90-voice, 48-piece orchestra has performed Vivaldi's Gloria on European tours. The Many Moods of Christmas is a choral arrangement of traditional Christmas music by Robert Shaw, former conductor of the San Diego Symphony Orchestra. You can hear selections from the performers and purchase tickets at www.sandiegofestivalchorus.org.
Santa arrives at Santee Lakes on Sunday, December 7th in a celebration that runs from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. There is fun for the whole family, including snow, sledding, carnival rides, inflatable jumps, boat rides, arts and crafts, food, and s'mores. For details, visit SanteeLakes.com.
Now for a preview of coming attractions.
Winter Wonder Jam, Cuyamaca College's homegrown music fest, put on by students in the Music Industry Studies program featuring four local bands and musicians playing pop, rock, and folk music, is set for December 12th from 7 to 10 p.m. in the Performing Arts Theater. The fifth annual Holiday Bash is an all-ages event with food, refreshments, and always eclectic performances. Admission is free with a donation of three canned goods for the San Diego Food Bank, or pay an admission fee. For more information, visit cuyamaca.edu and click on the Performing Arts link. Parking is free for this event at Cuyamaca College, located in Rancho San Diego.
The Lakeside Community Presbyterian Church will host a free concert on Friday, December 12th, that is open to the community. Vivaldi's Gloria will be presented by the church's Joyful Noise Choir and San Diego School of Creative and Performing Arts Choral Ensemble, Women's Chorus, and Chamber Orchestra. The church is located at 9908 Channel Road in Lakeside.
On December 12th and 13th, La Mesa's Downtown Village transforms into a Victorian-style winter wonderland for Christmas in the village. The festivities run from 5 to 10 p.m. each night with a holiday parade at 5 p.m., plus a pre-parade honoring 50th anniversary Vietnam War veterans. Christmas in the Village features strolling minstrels, carolers, and street entertainers, live music on multiple stages, and bonfires filling La Mesa Boulevard. Plus, kids can visit free with Santa at the Goodwill Plaza at 802050 La Mesa Boulevard after the parade and also enjoy carnival rides, ponies, and puppet shows. Shops and restaurants will be open late. Plus, there will be food and vendors at the event organized by the La Mesa Village Merchants Association. Stores are decorated and illuminated for the occasion. Parking is free during the entire holiday season. Christmas in the Village also supports the Salvation Army Toy Drive and the Ray and Joan Kroc Center Angel Tree Toy Program. Visitors can bring an unwrapped toy gift card or free donation to help local families in need. You can take the trolley to this event, since the station at the corner of Spring Street and La Mesa Boulevard stops in the heart of this event.
The annual Fire Truck Toy Parade rolls out on Saturday, December 13th from 9 a.m. to noon in the Target parking lot at 250 Broadway in El Cajon. Fire trucks from Heartland Fire and Rescue will be joined by fire trucks from across East County stations, all loaded with donated toys for the Salvation Army's East County Toy and Food Drive. If you want to help needy families this holiday season, you can bring a new unwrapped toy to the El Cajon Fire Department weekdays before the event, or go to Coco Radio booth at the Fire Truck Toy Parade on December 13th.
Warbirds West Air Museum invites you to bring a new unwrapped toy and attend a pancake breakfast and open house on Saturday, December 13th from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. You can view World War II aircraft and displays, see over 40 antique and classic cars, and meet Santa Claus. Families are welcome to attend. The museum is located at 1725 North Marshall Avenue in El Cajon at Gillespie Field. For more information, visit wwam.org.
'Tis the season to be merry along the Holiday Wine Trail, featuring wineries on the Ramona East End Loop. You can take the tour of December 13th or 14th from 12 to 5 p.m. The tour includes 6 wineries with a total of 18 wine tastings paired with 6 holiday treats. Check in at the Ramona Family Naturals on December 13th or 14th between 11 a.m. and 4 p.m. to receive your Holiday Wine Trail passport in glass for tasting at 642 Main Street in Ramona. Visit Ramona Ranch Winery's Facebook page for details.
The Seroptimus International of Lemon Grove will hold a holiday craft fair on Saturday, December 13th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. to benefit local charities. The event will take place at the Lemon Grove Academy Auditorium on School Lane in Lemon Grove. Admission is free to the craft fair, which will feature original homemade gifts such as purses, jewelry, scarves, and quilts. Proceeds will benefit the Seroptimus International Lemon Grove Holiday Giving and Lemon Grove Food Bank, as well as programs to improve the lives of women and girls.
The annual Mount Helix Park Sing-Along Caroling event will be held Sunday, December 14th from 6:30 to 8 p.m. in the amphitheater atop Mount Helix. Gina Seashore and her talented groups will be leading the caroling at this free and festive event for the whole holiday. Santa will be on hand to visit, but bring your own camera for photos. Free hot coffee and cocoa will be available, along with the baked goods provided by Sprites. Parking and shuttles will be available at the San Miguel Fire Station. The first shuttle will run up the hill at 6:15 p.m., and shuttles will run continuously thereafter. Be sure to dress warmly and bring a flashlight.
That's all for this week. You can find details on all these events and more on our calendar and in our festivals and events section online at eastcountymagazine.org.
If you have an event you'd like added to our calendar, or if you would like to sponsor the Destination East County column on our website or the Destination East County show on KNSJ Radio, you can contact editor at eastcountymagazine.org. Destination East County is the most read feature on our website.
We'll be back next week with more festivals, events, and attractions in San Diego's East County.
See you around, East County.
This is Miriam Raftery with a couple of late-breaking events that we learned about after this week's episode of Destination East County was taped. If you're looking for some holiday cheer, you can find it at the La Mesa Craft Beer and Wine Winter Festival. The event will be held Saturday, December 5th from 2 to 6 p.m. at the La Mesa Community Center, and a portion of the proceeds will benefit the La Mesa Historical Society. There will also be food and live music, including a performance by Marissa Grace McPherson, who you heard interviewed earlier on today's show. You can get more information on this event at craftbeerandwinefestival.com. Also on Friday night, B&S Brewery in Santee will have entertainment, including Danny Marie, a talented East County performer whose interview on the East County Magazine show will be airing next week. She's been taking Nashville and Memphis by storm, was in a music video that's been earning awards all over, and also has a role in a new movie coming out soon. Learn more on our show on Monday.
You are listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, broadcasting from the desert to the sea.
Now, straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers. This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, recording in our studio in the East County Wellness Center here in El Cajon. Today, I am very delighted to welcome Anthony Mostardo, who is the maestro, the conductor of the San Diego Festival Chorus and Orchestra. Anthony, welcome to the show.
Yes, glad to be here.
Now, you have quite an impressive bio. You have a Master of Music degree from DePaul University, a Certificate of Advanced Studies in Aesthetic Education from the University of Illinois. You've been a music coordinator at a school district in Chicago. You're a Spring Valley resident, and you have founded a number of musical organizations, including the San Diego Festival Chorus and Orchestra. That's quite a lot of accomplishments.
Yes, thank you.
Now, I understand that the chorus and orchestra have done a number of tours, including Europe. You've gone to the Czech Republic, Hungary, Austria, Iceland, Scandinavia, and Italy, performing in the major concert halls and the great cathedrals of Europe, as well as St. Peter's Basilica in the Vatican.
That's correct. In 1978, our chorus traveled through Europe. And one of the highlights of that particular tour was a concert that was arranged for us. My cousin, who was the business manager for the Sistine Chapel Choir in the Vatican, arranged it. We were one of only seven choruses throughout the world at that time to have been performing in St. Peter's Basilica in the Vatican. We were part of actually a mass that was conducted that particular Sunday morning. And it was attended by 26 cardinals, and I think it was 13 bishops. It was broadcast on Italian radio and also televised. So we're very fortunate to have had that wonderful privilege.
What a marvelous experience that must have been.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit more about the chorus and the orchestra itself, how it got started, what the vision was for all of that.
Well, actually, I enjoy music, obviously. I first started a chorus back in Illinois, a suburb of Chicago, at William Rainey Harper. We started a chorus there. We had close to 150 members. We had 25 members waiting to join us. We were a non-audition chorus. We hired musicians from the Chicago Symphony. We got soloists from Northwestern University. Dr. Richard Alderson, a very good friend of mine, who was the head of the department at Northwestern, oftentimes allowed us to feature some of his very talented students. And after I retired from that organization, I came to San Diego, and that was back in 1998. I found myself for 2 years doing not much of anything, so I decided to start another chorus and orchestra. And so in 2001, we had our first concert. We performed, by the way, Vivaldi's Gloria, the same piece that we are performing December the 7th, Sunday, at the College Avenue Baptist Church.
Very good. What time is the performance going to be?
The performance is at 3 o'clock, Sunday, December the 7th. That's actually Pearl Harbor Day. So it's one easy to remember.
Very good. What can you tell us about Vivaldi's Gloria? We're going to play a little excerpt here in a moment, but can you give our listeners a little education about the piece and the composer?
Yes. Well, of course, Antonio Vivaldi is a very prolific Italian composer. He is probably along with Johann Sebastian Bach, a part of the Baroque composers. He's a Venetian composer. He has written countless numbers of work. He's probably most famous for the Four Seasons, but he has written much more music, certainly, and a lot of instrumental music, vocal music. He has quite a fantastic background. He was called the composer with the flaming red hair. He was a member of a woman's retirement community and nursery that attended to younger children as well. And being a composer and living there, he had the natural surrounding for creating this wonderful music. And so we are very fortunate, again, to be able to perform his music this coming December 7th.
And now we're going to play a little excerpt for you listeners. Here's a treat today from Vivaldi's Gloria, performed by the San Diego Festival Chorus and Orchestra. Wonderful music. What other pieces are going to be performed at the concert on December 7th?
We always feature a lighter piece of music for the second portion of our program. We've selected a piece that is just a wonderful piece of music. It's fantastically orchestrated and arranged, by the way, Robert Shaw, the conductor of the San Diego Symphony many years ago,
yes,
who moved to Atlanta, Georgia, and conducted the symphony there, actually composed this along with another composer, Robert Russell Bennett, the composer of the music score for Victory at Sea. So you can see that that music, if you are familiar with it at all, is just a wonderful piece of music. It's a full Hollywood Bowl symphonic sound.
Marvelous.
And it features all the wonderful carols that normally people listen to and sing during the holidays, but done in a wonderful, fantastic symphonic arrangement.
We're all looking forward to that. Now, I understand that the chorus is non-sectarian, so apart from the Christmas holiday music, what are some of the other types of things that the chorus performs along with the orchestra?
In addition to performing our major two concerts a year, we do a winter concert and we do a spring concert, usually the first week in December and then also the first week in May. We also do a lot of outreach performances. We perform in community centers. We perform in retirement communities. We perform for groups that are not able to come to our concert. In fact, with the assistance of the Rotary Club of San Diego, we are actually able to provide bus transportation for these folks that are shut-ins, and we bring them to our concert, and they enjoy it immensely.
Wonderful. Well, it sounds like a terrific group. If people are interested in becoming involved, mm-hmm, how does one try out or become a member, mm-hmm, of the San Diego Festival Chorus and Orchestra?
Right. Orchestra members, of course, are hired. Mm-hmm. We actually pay them a fee for performing for us, but chorus members are not. We simply do not have what we call auditions to join our chorus. I do have a telephone interview with them. I ask that I have a chance to speak to them and find out a little bit about their background, their musical experiences, and of course, if they do read music, certainly this is an asset for us because they come somewhat prepared to learn the many challenging works that we perform. In fact, over the 14 years that we've been in existence, we have actually performed over 57 major choral works. Most often at the holidays, at Christmas time, most organizations perform the Messiah. Well, we perform the Messiah several times, but in addition to that, we expose our chorus and orchestra members to new music, music that normally is not performed, and this expands their knowledge of music and so on. So they don't need to be auditioned. They hopefully would have some background in music, some choral music, singing in a temple or a church. That would be preferable.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. And it's quite a large group, I understand. You have 90 members now, and as well as 48 orchestra members.
That's correct. We started back in 2001 with about 36 members, and over the years we have progressed consistently, and now our current membership is about 90 members. We are an SATB, that's a soprano, alto, tenor, and bass, mm-hmm, full vocal chorus. As I said, our musicians are paid. They're actually non-professionals. There are people who are business people, people who are professionals, but come and like to perform with us.
And are they from all over the county or primarily East County?
Actually, we have membership that this comes from all over the county. We've had people from as far away as Temecula and El Centro to join us.
And where are the rehearsals held?
We rehearse at the Hillsdale Middle School in Rancho San Diego, which is a subdivision of El Cajon.
So right here in East County.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Again, listeners, if you tuned in late, we have been interviewing Maestro Anthony Mastardo, who is the conductor of the San Diego Festival Chorus and Orchestra, which started right here in East County and has quite a long list of accomplishments. They are going to be presenting a joyful holiday music celebration on December 7th at 3 o'clock at the College Avenue Baptist Church near San Diego State. And if people want to get tickets or they want to get more information, Maestro, where can they go to get that information?
Yes, I'm glad you asked that question. That's an important question.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, we have a website. It's www.sandiegofestivalchorus.org. If you will log on to our website, you can get all of the information about our coming concert, information about joining our chorus, and anything else concerning ticket prices and so on. We would love to have you come. It's going to be a fantastic concert. Our attendance usually is in the range of about 1,200 people.
Wow.
So we do have a very good following, and we hope that you will be part of that for this coming concert.
Well, very good, and I might add that you can also listen to some more of this wonderful music when you go to that website at sandiegofestivalchorus.org. Thank you so much for joining us today, Maestro, and I'm certainly looking forward to trying to make it out to the concert on December 7th.
And thank you so very much for inviting me.
This concludes today's episode of East County Magazine's radio show. We extend our appreciation to the East County Wellness Center for our studio space, to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso. We extend our appreciation to our sound technicians, Leon Thompson and Ed Barena, and to our producer, Miriam Raftery. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Giovanni Galicia, and the Smashing Beats. If you have story ideas or would like to underwrite the East County Magazine radio show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org or call 619-698-7617. We'll be back soon for another edition of East County Magazine's radio show.